This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn 364.5, up 1.5. March corn 378, up 1.25. May corn 386.75, up 1.25. November soybeans 10.08, up 2. January soybeans 10.15, up 2.25. March soybeans 10.21, up 1.5. December wheat 530.75, up 8. March wheat 544.5, up 8. May wheat 552.5, up 8.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Corn and soybeans showed minor strength on slow harvest. In the northern and western part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 4 cents at 322 to 334, soybean bids down 2 to 3 cents at 1053 to 1077. In central Illinois, grain dealers quoted corn 2 to 5 cents higher at 318 to 335, soybeans were mixed at 970 to 992. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 4 cents stronger at 309 to 331. Soybeans were up 2 to 8 cents at 957 to 1009. Wheat was 7 to 8 cents higher at 415 to 461. Now, Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were mixed at 986 to 1018, with the basis unchanged to 4 lower at 22 under to 10 over the November. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $410.10 to $433.10 per ton. That's up $3.30 to $5.30, with the basis 5 to 7 higher at 35 to 58 over the December. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 2 cents higher at 320 to 350, with the basis steady at 15 to 45 under the December. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 316 to 340, with the basis steady to 1 higher at 25 to 49 under the December. Soybeans ended steady with 2 cents higher, steady to 2 cents higher at 991 to 996. With the basis steady to 2 cents lower at 12 to 17 under the November. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids up 1 cent at 334 to 337. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 1 cent with quotations of 1022 to 1023. Soft wheat closed 8 cents higher at 406 to 501. And Milo ended the day 2 cents higher at 384 to 385. Now on to contract bids to producers for January delivery. In northern and western Illinois, corn ranged from 333 to 357, and soybeans 985 to 1010. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 339 to 356, and soybeans 983 to 1022. In the southern part of the state, corn was 338 to 363, and soybeans 1017 to 1031. Wheat was 459 to 512. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 169.20, down 35 cents. December live cattle, 167.77, down 5 cents. February live cattle, 167.70, down 35 cents. October feeder cattle, 238.27, down 5 cents. November feeder cattle, 233.65, down $1.15. January feeder cattle, 229.05, down 40 cents. December lean hogs, 90.20, up $1.15. February lean hogs, 89.30, up $1.07. April lean hogs, $89.55, up $1.25. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.38 lower in the range of $74 to $89, with a weighted average carcass price of $86.77. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 58 to 64, 4 to 5 weights 63 to 68, 5 to 6 weights 66 to 70, and 600 pounds and up 68 to 72. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $3 lower with moderate demand for heavy offerings, ranging in price from 57 to 62. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 15,595 head. And now for the opening report from the Shelbyville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 181 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 163 to 172.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 154 to 160.50. And choice slaughter heifers, 160 to 171.75. And select and choice heifers, 156. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 409 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $97.72, and that was $2.39 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $251.56, that was $2.36 higher, and select carcasses at $239.10, that was $3.11 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, that compared to 115,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000, that compared to 429,000 last week and 432,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. October corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.31. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.30. October corn delivered to Scottville, $3.31. November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.30. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.81. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.87. October beans delivered to Scottville, $9.81. November beans delivered to Scottville, $9.87. October wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.65. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $3.31, beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $9.81, and wheat at Scottville is $4.65. A new partnership between USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, announced Tuesday, seeks to provide support for restoration of the Gulf of Mexico ecosystem. The effort is a result of the impacts from the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack stated, "Partnering with NFWF and private landowners will enable us to continue to make progress in this region." The partnership expands conservation efforts with landowners who may not otherwise be eligible to participate in recovery programs. The partnership will begin with a $20 million investment from NFWF, matched by a $20 million investment from NRCS. Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
A lot of volatility, unfortunately, continuing. To this point, it's been generally favorable for grain and oilseed prices, led by strong demand for soy meal and the lack of farmer delivery. So we're seeing a very tight soy meal market to this point. We know supplies eventually appear to look like they're going to exceed demand, but at this point, That has not yet happened, and so we're getting a sharp rally in the grain and oilseed prices, led by soy meal, led by soybeans. The question is, at what point will that tip over? One of the dynamics that's been supportive here has been ongoing political and economic problems in Argentina, which has sent more soy meal business to the United States at a time when crushers are still having trouble finding enough soybeans to crush.
And I hear that there's been a lot of attention on Brazil lately, with some concern about them getting their crop planted in time so that they would have their second crop able to have a good growing season.
It was very dry for much of October, September and October in the northern half of Brazil's corn and soybean belt. Rain started to fall late last week, have increased in both intensity and coverage as we've gone in this week. And in the concentrated corn soybean growing areas of the northwestern belt, where the production is really concentrated, we've seen a significant increase in the wetter pattern there. It looks like they're going to see good moisture. Maybe 10 to 15% of the belt might miss out, but overall things look to be improving dramatically for that area. Longer term, you know, there's always plenty of time for things to change. It's equivalent to late April in our growing season, so it's very early in the growing season. You mentioned the impact that this delay, because of the dryness, the rains that didn't start as soon as expected, might have on second crop corn. That is very important. The second crop corn accounts for about two-thirds of Brazil's production, and so that's certainly worthy of watching. The rains have come in time now to get the soybeans planted, maybe a little bit later than what was expected, but not enough to significantly change planting intentions at this point for second crop corn. We're just going to have to watch and see how the growing season unfolds as we get into the second crop corn planting. It makes it critical that they be able to harvest their soybeans in a timely manner. It's something we're going to have to watch as we go down the road. But at this point, it's not anything that's going to have a dramatic impact on corn acreage.
And over here in the States, luckily, we had a dry spell there for a while, and farmers were able to really get out and get harvesting.
Yeah, we're seeing some more showers kind of go through eastern parts of the Midwest today, creating more problems where we've had enough rain already for this harvest period, and that's slowed wheat planting as well. But overall, it looks like a generally favorable harvest forecast over the next week for the bulk of the Midwest. Central and western areas in particular, it's going to continue to have some problems in eastern areas. But the corn and soybeans are coming in. We are proceeding with the harvest progress. USDA confirmed that progress was pretty much close to expectations in Monday afternoon's report. Crops coming in a little slower than what we'd like, but it is coming in, and yields continue to hold up, suggesting that it's going to be the crop that we thought it would be.
And so far, this crop has been a pretty clean crop. Is that still being seen?
It is. We have a few more problems in the northwestern, far northwestern belt, where a early October freeze did kind of cut short the maturity of the crop, particularly in the Dakota, so we're seeing some quality issues there. But overall, it looks like a good crop.
Suderman also gave an update on the livestock markets.
Well, never thought I'd see the day when we'd sell fat cattle for $170, but that's what we did across the Plains feedlot region last week. Quite impressive, but the board, the futures market, has failed to take out that 170 level. We still have a double top at 169.75, and the inability to take that out, it leaves futures traders wondering if we're putting a top in the market. So we're weaker again today. Overall, this is a market that's trying to finally balance supply and demand. Consumer confidence exceeded expectations in a report out from the Department of Commerce this morning, and that generally bodes well for meat sales. We're also seeing much lower energy prices, which also tends to favor meat sales. So the ride may not be over for the cattle market. When we look at the hogs, it's a different story. We're seeing more hogs come to town than what the industry expected, and they're coming in at heavier weights. So overall, we're seeing the supply exceed demand, and that doesn't bode well for prices. We've seen good support at the $88 level for the December lean hog futures contract, and that's given us some support for a short-term rally. But overall, I'm concerned about our ability to hold that level and think that as long as the PED virus doesn't surprise us by creating more problems than expected, we could see that level go through and we could see a 7 in front of our hog prices.
Now, there's no doubt that the PED virus really did some damage to the hog industry, but over the year, I don't think it ever got truly as bad as people thought that it was going to get, both because the hogs came in at heavier weights and because there were a few more hogs than people expected.
Well, the heavier weights were a huge factor, and you make a good point there. The industry allowed feeders to go ahead and put more weight on those hogs and fill much of the deficit needed. Now we have two vaccines that have conditional approval that are not something to eradicate the disease, but they do help us manage the disease. And to this point, the industry is optimistic it will be and has expansion plans. Cheap corn certainly encourages those expansion plans as well. So if we're able to manage the disease as the industry expects, I would anticipate that we will see expansion and lower hog prices.
And back to the cattle, we've mentioned the very high numbers right now, but there's also still the smallest cattle herd that we've seen in many, many years. And how can a farmer justify trying to keep cattle on the farm and rebuild up the herd rather than selling them off now while the prices are excellent?
Makes a pretty tough decision for a cow-calf man to sell that heifer when that heifer could draw $250, $260 per hundredweight, or wait a couple years to see what might happen and get income from that heifer. So it makes it a tough decision, and that overall has slowed the expansion ability of the herd. The last cattle inventory report certainly showing that we're being very slow to do so. As we look at cow slaughter has slowed dramatically. Partially that's because we have a smaller cow herd. Partially that's because the cowman is keeping the cow a little bit longer so he can sell the heifer. But overall, we're going to see tight beef supplies for quite some time. I think the only question is at what price level will the consumer finally quit buying beef, and now will that change with cheaper pork prices? Will that speed up that rationing process?
Now, before we were estimating that it would probably take at least 18 months to build the cattle herd back up. Has that number gotten longer?
Well, I think that's still accurate, 18 months. The question is, when will that 18-month period start? And it was anticipated that it would have started 6 months to a year ago, but the latest data would suggest that we are still very slow to get that process started. So I don't think that we've created that much momentum yet, and it's going to be quite some time before we really turn this thing around.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.